Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Boom. Should I start things off?
Yep.
All right. I've given myself a challenge.
And what challenge is that?
You'll find out during the podcast. I got a feeling you're going to be surprised, but at the same time, it's going to be typical me. So that's there you go. So be warned.
Oh, God. Is it how many boxes of Cocoa Pebbles you can consume in one sitting?
Oh, that's just easy. At least five. That's true.
Welcome to And That's Why We Messed Up, the podcast talking about nerdery, geekism, and all else in between from a South London postcode. I am your host, Shanners. Next to me, with a wonderful husky little voice, is a big man, Booger Red. You're right.
Wow.
So that's a no.
Are
you right?
Sorry.
You okay?
Hello there. Yeah, I'm I hope everyone is well. Sounding better than I am right now, but hope everyone is well.
Don't worry, Big Man just finally gone through puberty. It's fine.
Alright, ball strut thing. And on the other side of me. Is the instant classic, bro? You're right.
What? How you doing?
What's up?
It's all good. It's all good.
Yeah. All right. So another week, another set of trailers have been dropping.
Mm-hmm. Indeed, coming thick and fast.
Indeed. But first off, before we do that, I think it's only right that we kind of we had some news this week, right?
Mm-hmm. From the rest of the world. Rest in peace or rest in power to the legendary Mike Soulman Jones, aka Virgil from WWF.
Fuck money,
indeed. Like, for all those who don't know, like, back in the early 90s, Virgil was the right hand or bodyguard of the Million Dollar Man.
Ted DiBiase.
And, like, he, to this day, I feel like he has had one of the best reactions when he beat Ted DiBiase for the Million Dollar Championship. When that exposed turnbuckle came and he started hitting him, and like the pop was ridiculous. And that's like, a lot of wrestlers can go through their career and not have a moment like that.
Yeah.
And the fact that he got that moment, granted, like, things went downhill straight after that, but he had that moment. And
he had his moment.
Yeah, and that moment stands the test of time, to my knowledge.
Because he enjoyed a lot of tomfoolery. Let's call it that.
Yeah, he was the butt of many jokes. I mean, like, literally, oh, God. Like, literally, yeah. Like, his name, like, like his name Virgil was basically a rib on or a piss take of the American Dream. Then when he went to WCW, he was named Vincent, which was a rib on Vince McMahon. So like, yeah, he was the butt of many jokes, but sadly, but you know, again, like I still have fond memories of Virgil or Mike or Soul Man. I mean, he's still a man who wrestled the KKK. That's the thing that happened.
I mean, give it to him. Give it to him.
And we'll always have his song, Fuck Money.
Fuck Money! I'm not playing it.
I'll say it.
That's enough. That's enough. Fair use and all that. We'll be careful. So, yeah, rest in power to Virgil. Died at 61. Now that business is out of the way, the Borderlands trailer dropped this week.
It did indeed.
It did. So we got a picture first, and then we got the trailer. How do we feel about the Borderlands trailer?
Big man.
Right. Okay. Is it Borderlands or is it Borderlands meets Guardians of the Galaxy?
See, because like my thing is, but it, like, because Guardians of the Galaxy is mainstream, obviously it got its reputation for by being Guardians of the Galaxy, having the retro soundtrack and all the funky colors and jazz that it does. If you are a fan of Borderlands, the video games, you know that that's always been kind of the aesthetic for Borderlands.
Borderlands did it first.
Yeah, like the outrageous colors, the soundtracks. I mean, like the first game, there ain't no rest.
Rest for the wicked, yeah.
And then like,
what, yes,
and then the second Borderlands 2, oh, my tune, the heavies.
Oh, what the heavies, what makes a good man? Yeah,
their soundtracks have always been on point. The color palette has always been the same. So basically, from my point of view, what I saw was a decent live action adaptation of a video game. I mean, like, I don't expect the characters to be exactly like what they are in the video game, because it's going to be hard to pull off. I mean, it's really good. Like, I was okay with the idea of never seeing my version of Tiny Tina, because Ashley Birch is Tiny Tina, and that's the only that's the only person I can see doing Tiny Tina. And there's always been a complaint about, obviously, like, about the casting being a bit too old, but at the same time, it's Cate Blanchett and Amy Curtis. You can put them in any film and I would watch it. So I haven't got a problem with that at all. Like my only problem or pet peeve is Kevin Hart as Roland. But then, like I said to my sister, Roland wasn't really, I thought he was kind of boring and generic. I mean, the only time, it sounds really bad, but
I know you're
going to
say you can't say it.
Yeah,
so,
it's a big spoiler.
It's a big spoiler for those who haven't played the game.
So. And I don't know how the films are going to go, so I don't want to say it just in case it spoils that for them. But yeah, he was only relevant for one moment, and at the same time, you really cared. I personally had to think, but yeah, like I said, I'm open to it. But I was concerned about your reaction to this.
Okay. The elephant in the room. Gotta say it. The director is the elephant in the room. We done know I am not a fan of Eli Roth. I'm not a fan of him, the work, nothing. So, and Borderlands is one of my, as I said to Bruv, it's my favorite set of games. I've played them all. And I thoroughly enjoy them. The look is there. I'm with Bruv. The vehicles look sick. The vehicles look exactly how I wanted to look. I'm happy to see older people. Thank you very much. Because I'm like, Pandora, you're supposed to be hardened and wizened and what have you. And I think there's a nice, dare I say, a nice spread on it to get a variety of characters. Absolutely loving Jamie Lee Curtis's Tannis. Absolutely. And I hope Cate Blanchett as Firehawk, Lilith, looks the part. Say Kevin Hart, I'm not really a fan of him as Roland. But Brad's right. There's a kind of, I think they do a good thing where you're supposed to be able to kind of insert yourself into these avatars. So they have a balance of characteristics. And obviously later on, some of them go on to be their own people. And Roland never really got that, except for the event that we can't talk about. Ashley Birch is Tarantino for me, but I'm happy to kind of give like another person a try to do it, if you get what I mean.
Yeah,
like,
that's only fair.
Yeah, that's only fair. It looks the part. My worry is the director. My worry is the focus and where that's going to be. I do not want it to be too much lingering on the gore, if you get what I mean. Because it's like, yeah, there's stuff in there that's because Pandora is nuts. If you played it, you know it's crazy. But it's all of it. It's supposed to be kind of a fun, rip-roaring ride. So I do have concern around the director. But so far, yeah. And I like to see like little breakdowns. I've seen the things that I want to see, like, he does the guns. What's his name? I can't remember his name now. Oh, my God.
Dell, which means...
Yeah. There's things that... So, yeah, I'm quite happy. Time will tell. Time will tell. Okay. So moving onwards, we also saw M. Night Shyamalan. It's a new one. M. Night Shyamalan. Shyamalan Bing Bong. The new one called The Watchers, which I've got to say up front, disappointed that it's not the Corey Haim redo with the dog, because I enjoyed that movie.
Am I quiet inside? Don't forget my quiet inside.
Am I quiet inside? Remember, he has no conscience. what did you guys think of the trailer? Big man, you shared it. What did you think?
Oh, well, more shots is actually discovered it was actually his daughter, not him, that's actually behind this film.
Oh.
Yeah.
Ooh, really?
Yeah. Mm, it's his daughter, not him.
Wait. And that, but it said M. Night... Wait, what's
the... It said M. Night...
Wait, what?
What?
There you go.
One second.
Now, the last time she inspired something, it was the lady in the water. And I know some people didn't really like
that
movie.
Oh, shit. Yeah, Shyamalan.
Oh.
Directing, okay. Writing.
This could be interesting. I mean, last time, she didn't write Lady in the Water. But I didn't mind Lady in the Water. I think there are worse M. Night films as it is. But I haven't seen Knock at the Cabin. Knock at the Cabin.
Good.
But I've heard it's good, right?
Yeah, that is good. Batista impressed the hell out of me, but that is a really good film.
Okay.
This, to be fair, when I watched the trailer, I was intrigued because it didn't explain much, but it left me asking questions. So for that, I had the slight people's eyebrow slightly raised, so I'm intrigued. Happy to see where that one goes. How about you, bro?
Yeah, that's right. Nah, trailers, like, it's just questions at this moment in time. So I'm like, we'll see. I'm not like,
we've been hurt before.
Yeah, like, so it's, I don't get excited his films anymore, or their films anymore now. Oh. But then, like, I think the last film I got excited for was Glass.
Oh,
and
because even the one before that, oh my god, what's the prequel to Glass?
Oh,
Split.
Yeah, Split was good. Yes. Split was really good.
That came out of the blue for me, that, because yeah. I wasn't looking forward to it, and I saw it on the plane. I was like, this is good.
Yeah, and I was kind of like, with Glass, I was kind of high because I was going back to my, because like Unbreakable was my favorite.
Oh, that's good.
It's my favorite film that he did. So I was like, going back to that, I was like, yeah, okay, cool. And then I was like,
Okay,
so I can't have nice things. Okay, fair enough. Thanks for that. I appreciate it. Thanks for reminding me about my mortality and how life is disappointing. Thank you.
Thanks so much. So yeah, that's what I came for.
So yeah, like, we'll see. I'm always open to be, you know, have my mind changed, but I'm not gonna hold my breath.
True. Okay. Well, speaking of Watchers, not The Watchers, but an old film from the 90s starring Corey Haim with a psychic dog. It got me thinking about films that are like bad films.
Was, I mean, was he psychic? I thought he was just really smart.
Was he? I thought he was a psychic dog.
I thought he was just a really smart dog.
Oh, a smart dog. He's a smart dog. He's a smart psychic. He could have been both.
Okay, I got more questions, but never mind.
But anyway, for those of you who haven't like sat down and watched everything that happened on Sky Movies, from Dark Angel to Watchers, and all else in between, I just thought it'd be interesting. Following from last week with that, with a little roundtable format, I thought it'd be interesting to ask you guys about your top three, so bad they're good. Your personal favorites, not the ones like, you know, like, oh, you know, Plan 9 from Outer Space and what have you that we all know. Ones that you've seen and you just, you know, they're not great, but you just got a love for them. And you should, and there are also ones that you would definitely like, just, you know, you're having that kind of Saturday where you're doing stuff, you're just like, oh, I'll just put this on in the background.
Yep.
So, yeah. Big man.
Mm-hmm.
What's one of yours so bad it's good movies?
Oh, God, okay. One of the infamous Sky Thursday night action films.
Mm-hmm.
Been rinsed to death. And to be fair, a film which I haven't seen recently.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going to do a robbery and there's around about 12 of you and you're all dressed as Elvis, what can possibly go wrong? I'm talking about 3,000 Miles to Graceland.
With Kevin Costner and Kurt Russell. Yeah.
I've never actually seen that.
No,
I remember that.
Yeah, it's bad, but it's that bad. It's actually pretty good. It is funny, but it basically is. If you're gonna make a film with a bunch of mates, in Las Vegas and just have a laugh, that was the film.
Mm.
And everyone just getting popped off from the beginning. It made no sense. It was just...
I can't remember what the storyline was, if I'm honest.
To be fair, I just remember Kurt Russell was the good guy. Kevin Costner was the bad guy. And I remember everyone just doing really bad Elvis impersonations throughout the whole film. I mean, to be perfectly honest, the casting that they had for that film... I don't have to bring it up because it was way above average for a film of that stature. 3,000 Miles...
Mm-hmm. I mean, you had. I'm trying to think because it was Kevin. Because Kevin Costner and wait, wasn't Kevin Costner also an Elvis?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Everyone, it was such a lineup. Yes, that's it. It gets worse now when I see the lineup.
God.
It's Kurt Russell, Kevin Costner, Christian Slater.
Bloody hell!
That's Kevin it.
Kevin Pollak, David Arquette, John Lovitz. Thomas Keelan Church, Booker and Woodbine, Ice-T. It was like the...
I'm sorry, wait. You said Booker and Woodbine and Ice-T with Christian Slater. It sounds like a fever dream.
That's what
sounds...
Yeah, that literally sounds... What? It sounds like a fanfic.
It does.
Yep, and Courtney Cox. So there's a whole heap of people in that film. And it's just... Someone got shot, someone getting cussed. Gunshot, 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 bunch of people doing Elvis impersonations and credits were rolling. What more you can ask for B movie on a Saturday?
I don't think that's B. I think that's coming down to D. Wow. Okay.
I need to find it. I haven't watched it in years now, so give me a reason to rewatch it.
We have good reason for obvious reasons. Come on, now.
I was going to say, after I start to buy Big Man 3,000 Miles to Graceland. Okay. Rav, what's your one?
See, my first choice, I was drawn between two because one's not really a bad film, but by standards it still is, but I love it to death. And the other one is a bad film and I still love it to death. So
to quote Sis Bro, you're in a safe space. There's no.
Like, I'm not saying these films. Come on now. Come
I think that one of them is.
I don't think you do. I don't think you do.
Okay.
But my first choice is going to be Lake Placid.
Oh.
Lake Placid. I don't know. Actually, I do know why I rented it from Blockbusters. I remember why, because I remember I saw a trailer for it, and it was Bill Pullman quipping with Brendan Gleeson. And I was like, this is weird. I'm gonna rent it. And I rented it from Blockbuster, and then like the dialogue is very Shane Blackish.
Oh god, yeah.
And like you got good cast. You got Bridget Fonda, you got Bill Pullman, Brendan Gleeson, Oliver Platt, and the Queen herself, Betty White.
Betty Wright.
She delivers some bars. The best line. I remember Brendan Gleeson goes, so like, obviously you find out that she's been feeding the giant alligator or crocodile, whatever you want to call it, and she's blindfolds a cow and pushes it, and then it eats the bloody cow. So what happened to your husband? You blindfolded him, pushed him into the thing, and she went, "If I had a dick, this is why I told you to go suck it." That came out of Betty White's mouth. Betty White. Thank you for being my friend. Please for that bar. Jesus Christ.
Always rest in power. That was when I knew that Betty White was off the chain, because I was like, what the? And because up until then, I'd only seen Betty White in Golden Girls.
Same.
Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm sorry, what? And I was introduced to how she is, and I was like, oh, damn. Oh, damn.
Like, I just remember that part where she's being guarded by one of the deputies. And like, she's like, "Do you want some coffee? Do you want some tea? Do you not want your friends to die? Right? No, I don't. I hope he eats them all. I don't. You know. Do you know? Am I gonna get arrested for that?" The guy's like, "I have no idea, man." It's like, "Psh, well, you should know, you know."
And she's like, my spirit animal. You know, I think that's how I'm becoming.
And like, Bridget Fonda was great in that as well. Everyone was really on point. Like, and do you know, I was like today years old when I found out that Bridget Fonda was married to Danny Elfman.
Wait, what?
Yep, and they have three kids together. And I was today's old when I didn't realize that Danny Elfman was the front man for Oingo Boingo. I didn't know that. I didn't know that. So I blew my mind, because like he sung some of my favorite songs, and I'm like, wait, what? Danny Elfman and his brother were both in it. I was like, what the? Okay, I did not know that. But yeah, those two have been married, or still married. They got married in 2003, and they're still married to this day with three kids.
See, I knew about Danny Elfman being Oingo Boingo because of a film called Back to School with Rodney Dangerfield.
Oh, okay.
And they were there. And I was like, wait, that's Danny Elfman singing. And that's how I knew he was the lead for it, because they have an Oingo Boingo song in there. Mm. And I was like, so that's how I knew about that. But I didn't know he was married to Bridget Fonda.
Yeah, they've been married for like the past 21 years.
Wow. Wow, that's something new every day.
Because the film I was going to choose was Ready to Rumble, which is generally a bad wrestling film, but I love it.
David Arquette,
Scott Kahn. I love that film. Love that film. get a cameo from Young John Cena before you knew who John Cena was. Great film.
Could you see him? Was the question?
No one could see him. Except for a real fan.
Wow. Okay.
Go on, sis.
This was more challenging than I thought it was. Cause I was like, oh god, yeah, I have some. But and I did this away from my husband, because we all know that my husband has a propensity for bad films. Legendary. But yeah, I'm gonna go with Deep Blue Sea.
There's nothing wrong with that. I'm sorry, yeah.
Do you know what? I have love for that film, I'm not even gonna lie.
I love it. I unashamedly love Deep Blue Sea. I love it. I will watch it every time it's on. I'll have it as background. I'll fall asleep to Deep Blue Sea, because I just love it. I enjoy it.
But the question is, have you seen the sequels?
No, I'm not. I couldn't. I started and I just was like, this feels weird. I couldn't do it. Fair bitch. I genuinely enjoyed the film. I just love the fact that, okay, spoiler alert. I mean, how old is that movie, for God's sake? I'm not ruining anything. And if you have...
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
I haven't seen it. I'm sure, like, it's on Amazon. And it comes up on Amazon, like, every couple of months.
Prime time. Or film, maybe the other night. So, right.
Yeah, so I mean, it's from 1999. So I mean, obviously, I think everyone knows the whole thing with the Samuel L. Jackson dies like a quarter of the way into the movie.
Wow, giving an inspiring speech.
The graphics are the effects are a tad ropey, especially when they're going backwards. And that's what it is. I've got to say though. Thomas Jane acts his little heart out.
You can tell he was making his debut in Hollywood, right?
He was making his debut, and Thomas Jane. There is a part that I love, and I rewind it. I've got to say, it's my confession. This is my confession. There's a part that I rewind, which is when Thomas, when they're basically trying to like shut a door, as if so that he's sinking, and Thomas Jane throws himself towards the camera. In an actor, you used to see just how live he is in his whole kind of scuba gear. And there's no reason for that reaction. Because all you had to do was walk up and help shut the door with Michael Rapaport. And yeah. But yeah, he's given his life. But also, I could kind of see why. Because there's a Skarsgård in the vicinity. And you know how the Skarsgårds just act. They blink and they're like, it's amazing. So Stellan Skarsgård is in there, and he wants, if you look back on it, that's basically like the prototype for him, which he was going to be in the rest of the MCU.
Yeah, Selvig.
Because he plays quite literally the same character. Except the fact that in this one, he gets his arm bitten off by a shark.
And then he literally gets thrown into a glass window by a shark.
I've got to say, and I kind of like I like the person who we kind of think is going to be our protagonist for the whole thing, played by Saffron Barrows, Dr. Susan. Oh my God, what's her name? Dr. Susan something.
Yes,
and she's just like, because she literally is like, I'm unapologetically going to do what I'm going to do. I said, Susan McAllister, I will try and find the cure for Alzheimer's, because I've suffered, and all of y'all are going to suffer until I get this cure. And I mean, I think one of the infamous things about it, aside from Samuel L. Jackson being eaten a quarter of the way into the film, is the fact that in the original ending, she makes it, and test audiences did not like that. at all. They were vexed. They were like, nah, 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 sorry. Mm-mm, no. I had to go back, reshoot, and then she has to die right near the end. And surprisingly, LL Cool J makes it to the end.
That was the biggest joke.
Hey, man. I'm pretty sure that was the era when they stopped getting the token.
They did. They did. They decided that not only was the token, who was also a reformed Christian, called Preach, gonna be... with that killer line, you kill my bird. if you haven't seen it, please. And it's also directed by Renny Harlin, who also directed Longest Goodnight, which I absolutely is one of my awesome favorites as well. So, yeah, Deep Blue Sea is my number three. Mm. I love it. Check it out. Big Man, what's your number two?
Number two. This is a... I don't know how to describe it. I think the term is black comedy, dark comedy.
It's the room,
it got
isn't it?
Only it's the room, isn't it?
Is it the room? Is it the room?
Anyway. Had enough of my negative reviews. Basically, Carl Fisher. No, Carl Fisher and his friends travel to Vegas. See, there's a pattern with these films I'm clocking now. In order to celebrate his bachelor party.
Wait.
But their trip turns in...
Oh, is it Very Bad Things?
Very Bad Things.
There we go.
See, I want to call that a bad movie, though.
I loved it. But
to be fair, it a bad movie.
But to be fair, it was more of a cult classic.
True. But I love that movie.
See, I'm here missing that film. I think it was too dark for me.
It was very dark. It was very dark.
Because I was like, I wasn't laughing as much as I wanted to be laughing, because like there's all the people in there make me laugh in general usually, but then I was like, this is getting really dark, like really dark.
It became survival very quickly in that film, but it just what a nasty ass Christian Slater was in that film.
But then to be fair, I honestly just felt like it was like a continuation of his Heather's role.
Yeah,
it was. It felt like it was a, like, what happened if JD survived?
Change his name,
and we had that. And we got an early John Favreau, Cameron Diaz.
Yep, Jeremy Piven.
Oh my god, yeah. That was brutal. It got dark, and it got darker, and it stayed dark. So, yeah, I mean. Not a film I want to fall asleep to, but I do like that film.
It's definitely one that you laugh at. You're like, ooh, in the blink of an eye. It was much like that.
Yeah.
But definitely another one I've got to try and find somewhere. But anywho, about that, Mr. Classic, sir, what's yours?
All right, so I mentioned... I've given myself a challenge now, because since we started the season, this film I've mentioned in every single podcast since we started the season.
Is it Never Back Down?
Never Back Fucking Down! I am going to mention this film naturally, not on purpose, just naturally. It's got naturally involved into this. I'm going to try and make it naturally in every episode now.
Okay.
Don't know how. Okay. I don't know when. I don't know if it's possible, but I'm going to try. But Never Back Down is my number two, because it's Never Back Fucking Down. Come on now. Yeah,
Never Back Down.
Come on now. I don't need to say anything. I've talked about this film, how much I love it. It's a mixed martial arts karate kid.
Yep.
Got my boy John Sean Faris, Evan Peters. Not going to mention the other person.
Nope.
And it is awesome. I don't care what anyone says. It is awesome. Boom.
That's pretty much in a nutshell then.
That's right.
There we are. Okay. Okay. My number two. My number two. It's bad. It's bad. But I just love it.
Okay.
It's 1983, A Caribbean Mystery with Miss Marple.
Oh, what?
Okay, okay. That just sounds offensive. I can already feel the racism. Like, I feel like I need to be writing to someone right now and call them to complain. Wait, okay. What?
So you guys know that I love a good murder mystery, you know, Columbo.
Poirot,
Knives Out. You know, it's the only way I will accept Daniel Craig as Benoit Blanc. It's the only acceptable thing I will take from him. You know, Murder, She Wrote, you know I love him. Cafe and Mystery. Okay. They filmed it in Barbados.
Of course they did.
And, okay, we're going to have to get it out of the way right now. Okay. You know that thing in the 80s where anybody in the Caribbean had that Miss Cleo adjacent accent? Gara Minow!
Yeah.
So I'm going to get this out of the way right now that almost all the help in it has that whole thing going on, okay? So because obviously, you know, they weren't about to actually cast real Jamaicans or Barbadians up in this piece. But for some reason, I just like it. I think it just reminds me of my gran because I would watch it with her.
Mm-hmm.
And watch this story, which is actually a pretty good Miss Marple story about, and the story basically is that she's gone on holiday and starts to hang out with the other old folks, and then one of them's telling about a story about a murder, and then he gets killed, and then it just kicks off a series of events that happens, and you can actually find it on YouTube. I will share the link. It's the whole thing. And I just love it. It's bad. Like I can't justify it. It looks, the island looks beautiful. Barbados does. Yes, there is, like I said, there is some questionable accent. But other than that, I just really enjoy it. Aww. It just gives me a sense of comfort. And it always reminds me of, weirdly, of Easter. Tidy Up Easter. For some reason, it always come on like around Easter time. So yeah, A Caribbean Mystery is my so bad is personally good, but a little bit questionable, but not, still not as bad as Dumbo with the black crows.
Good old fashioned family criticism.
Yeah, that is way worse. This is not, but that, yeah. So there
what
we
makes
go.
It worse? The main crow was white anyway.
I know.
The rest of them were black, to be fair.
The rest of them black, but I'm not even going to do it. Anyway. Okay, so yeah, Caribbean Mystery is my one from 1983. Okay.
Big man,
what's number one?
No, this was difficult to pick because there are two films, both as equal.
Mm-hmm.
One, you know, I got mad love for it. The other one, critically panned, but I didn't think it was that bad.
Okay. It's,
and they both stopped me, Jesus, whoa, for crying out loud. Okay, so I have to split them, so I can't pick between them both. So the first one was Jason X.
Do you know what, I can't even be angry at that.
Fair, Prof and I have rewatched that countless times.
Like, they got some good kills in that film. And, like,
there was at one point, I remember specifically that we just hung out in your room, Prof. I just had it on in the background on repeat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Station X, yeah, it's bad. I mean, it's borderline Andromeda, the movie on a budget. And
it really is. I got the cast really boot as well.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that's what it was. I mean, every time you try to kill, as we know, Jason, near nothing possible, but in space, that just took it to a new level. And to continue on that theme, the other movie was John Carter.
Oh,
I feel sorry for that film.
It was like the worst timing.
I feel sorry for the actor mainly because you could tell that was his big moment.
I know. We didn't want it to make it, but
it killed his career.
Yeah.
I mean, he's doing okay now these days. What I'm saying.
Yeah, to be fair, last time I saw that film when he was the villain. Was it American Assassins where Michael Keaton?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen him since. Didn't he play Gambit?
Gambit in Wolverine Origins?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm seeing the
Taylor Kitchen.
That's it, yeah. So yeah, it was both of those two. It was hard to pick, so it was a joint number one. But what was yours, bro?
I will say before Bob said that, if you want like a really good breakdown of Jason X, look at the Kill Count episode on it. It's really good. It breaks down like why it is the way it is, and some really interesting stuff. So, and covers the kills. So Kill Count on Dead Meat. The Kill Count on Dead Meat. Yeah, yes. On YouTube. It's really good. Cool.
All right.
Go on, what's number one, brother?
My number one is, I'm going to say something very controversial. I'm probably going to get hate for saying that. It is one of the best video game adaptations.
Oh, no.
Dead or Alive, isn't it?
Fuck yes, it is. And you may be questioning, Warren, why would you say that's one of the best video game adaptations? I'll tell you. So, So, you remember the video games Dead or Alive, right?
Yes, okay. I can't forget them. Okay, especially because one specific thing.
Bouncing boobs on or off.
Yeah, on or off, yep.
So, do you recall the story?
Barely. I don't. Legitimately, I don't recall the story of Dead or Alive.
Awesome. All right, now the film itself, do you know the story?
No.
See, now, isn't that authentic adaptation right there? Boom, look at that. And to be fair, from what I can remember from the story live, the story was like, okay, there were ninjas, one of the main ninjas got amnesia and became someone else, and then there was a girl who had a fortune, fight for the fortune, and then at the end of it, they all decided to play volleyball. So that's the gist of the story of Dead or Alive, and I'm pretty sure in the film, there was volleyball, so I'm pretty sure that's a true adaptation, I'm just saying. And it doesn't hurt that the fighting was pretty badass. The women were quite good looking. And
wasn't Holly Valance in it?
Yeah.
Holly Valance, Sarah Carter. She's my favourite. I love Sarah Carter. She's a Smallville alumni. I always got love for my Smallville alumni. It has Coronation Street's own Matthew Marsden.
And, oh my God.
And everyone's favourite dad, Eric Roberts.
It's so mad to be like, and Neighbours, Holly Valance.
Hey, Neighbours. Neighbours is a credible show. What the hell?
Hey, look, without Neighbours, you wouldn't have Jason Donovan and Kylie Minogue.
There you go. Oh, Holly Valance. Duh, hello.
Holly Valance. There we go. Oh my God. Or Jim Dale, who was in the MCU.
That's true. That is very true.
That is so weird. So random. And anyway, Guy Pearce, that would see, once again.
Guy Pearce.
You know what? See, I was hoping that it was like that Mortal Kombat thing, where it's like if you look into it, there's a really deep storyline. But that's not the case, is it?
Like again, I could not tell you what the point of Dead or Alive was, other than to show bouncy.
It was a tournament. I thought there was like some form of other than the volleyball.
There probably was. I couldn't tell you, sis.
Wow.
Like, I can't even remember the last game. I think the last game was a volleyball game that was actually the last one that came out. And to be fair, there was volleyball in the film, so you know, it's quite accurate.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Yep. Okay.
So, sis, what's yours?
I can't. See, I'm torn. So once again, I'm gonna have to be torn as well.
Natalie
so...
Imbruglio, Neighbours. There you go. Boom.
True. She's okay. So it's between Dante's Peak,
mm-hmm.
because you know how I feel about Dante's Peak, and The Meg.
The Meg, okay. I love both those films, and like, it's Jason Statham. Jason Statham fights a bloody shark.
He fights a shark
and wins.
And that's spoiler the thing. That was, it's like it's car crash TV. You want to turn away, but it's like I can't. Because this was hard for me. Because I was like Hudson Hawk.
Hudson Hawk. That's not a bad film. Give it one sense. Fuck you.
Masters of the Universe.
That's pretty bad.
That's bad, but you know, so bad but good. But yeah, I had to come back to this, like, what do I, it's like sometimes I still do fall asleep to Dante Speak when it's on, because yeah, I love it. And then the Meg, once again, prime car crash. I can't look away. And Stafe is just, and Stafe's doing what he's born to do. And the thing I love is that you find out all this random stuff about Jason Statham. So you're like, what do you mean he was a swimmer?
Yeah, champion swimmer.
What do you mean a champion swimmer? What? Do you mean? You just got to love him.
I always remember when I was still in college and I think Locksock had come out and you showed me for the first time. And then I was at college and looking through his catalogue for an art piece, and I happened to see Statham in the catalogue as a model. I was like, wow.
Oh my
God. That's just random.
Yeah. At one point, Statham was he's the music video at one point, I remember. Just dancing.
Whose phone is that?
Mine's just gone off because I think it's my... Oh, of course.
For shame, sister.
For shame, for shame. You know what? It's because it's my child, and it's because she can override everything. So, yeah. Apologies for that. But, yeah. Stave's just amazingly... I wanted to hate the Meg.
You wanted to hate... Why would you want to hate a film with Stave from fighting a shark?
I know, it's so awesome.
For shame.
See, funny enough, Big Man's films seem to all have like a Las Vegas one. Mine have sharks.
Mm. Mine have fighting women.
You had fighting women.
Well, except for Never Back Down, they're fighting men.
See? Yeah, Never Back Down. Never Back Down, bruv, Never Back Down. So I can say, is it just like you have to reference the film or just say Never Back Down, or are we just going to see how it goes?
I don't know, see how it goes. It needs to be natural. Mm. I can't just say it, right? I just can't say, hey guys, never back down. It'll just be weird.
No, you can't.
It's got to flow into the conversation naturally. Mm. It can't just be said.
Yeah. Mm. Cool.
Just saying.
Well, a nice little interlude. I hope we've inspired you to watch some amazing things like 3,000 Miles to Graceland, Very Bad Things, Never Back Down.
Yes!
Dead or Alive.
Yes!
Oh my God. And A Caribbean Mystery.
Racism.
I'm gonna murder. The Meg, Deep Blue Sea, and and Dante Speak, which I thoroughly enjoy.
Did you know that Lake Placid had four sequels? So it had So it was Lake Placid, obviously, in 1999. Uh-huh. And in 2007, it had Lake Placid 2. 2010, uh-huh. Lake Placid 3. Then mm-hmm. Lake Placid vs. Anaconda.
Wait, what?
You heard me. Lake Placid vs. Anaconda. And then Lake Placid Legacy.
In a world of multiple Puppet Masters and Jasons, I am unsurprised.
Never Back Down had two sequels.
Yeah, two sequels.
Both with Michael Jai White. Yeah.
On that note, I think I'm going to draw a line under this. Thank you for taking me on a little journey there, and also I appreciate you, Brad, for the Ongo Boingo reference, which has made me go, did not know that. Big up Danny Elfman every time. But if you would like to reach out and share your So Bad It's Good personal favourite movies, you can email us at stjudeavengers@gmail.com. You can find us on Instagram at messedup_pod. Big man, what's your socials?
That's a difficult question.
Yeah,
stop.
Oh, God.
Think about it before you... Okay, think about it.
We'll come back to you. Give some time to think about it. Bruv, what's your socials?
You can find me on YouTube under InstantClassic_KB, and you can find me on TikTok, Instagram, and Twitch under InstantClassic_gaming. Big man, about you?
Come on. Okay.
So, to find me on Insta, you can find me at Mr_Roberts_V1. And finally on X, or Twix, as we like
Twix.
To call it.
Twix.
You can find me at War3782.
Yay!
Well done. You got to do it next week again as well.
Yeah, I've been practicing for quite a while for that line.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you much for your time and your ears. We hope you enjoyed it. And take care out there. See you soon.
Fuck money.
Fuck money.
And that's why we messed up. Produced by the Centuries Avengers. Edited by yours truly. Instant Classic Gaming. At music produced by Fox Tree Music.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.